What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
98.5, it is weekdays with Mike. Good morning. It is nice to be with you on this Monday morning. Now, this week is National Asbestos Awareness Week, and the campaign is asking Australians to think twice about asbestos. The campaign challenges complacency by reminding home renovators and tradespeople that the danger of asbestos is far from over. And with me today in the studio is Support Network Coordinator Liz and co-founder and director Joe from Of Reflections. Good morning. It's nice that you're both in the studio.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Now, first of all, to you, Jo, you are the co-founder and director of Reflections. Can you just explain a little bit about what Reflections actually is?
Sure. So Reflections was founded based on my father's legacy, actually. So prior to 2010, I knew very little of the risks of asbestos and certainly couldn't pronounce mesothelioma. It's not a word you want to have to learn, trust me. Dad was diagnosed with the terminal cancer in 2010 and given 6 to 9 months to live. By nothing short of a miracle, he actually survived 7 years so without treatment. So being so unusual in that story, he was challenged to write his memoir, Reflections Through Reality, which became a catalyst for setting up a foundation by the same name.
So he was, what did your dad do for all those years?
He was a builder. So he started his apprenticeship in Busselton when he was 14. Of the three apprentices, he was actually the last to pass away from mesothelioma. Back then, they used it copiously. He recalls, you know, going down to the beach at the end of his workday to wash off all the dust because they'd been sweeping the floors and were covered in everything. So he wasn't necessarily surprised when he was diagnosed, but where Reflections is focused is on the future. There's a lot of trade. There's so much in situ asbestos in our environment. Western Australia has the highest rates of mesothelioma in the world and possibly the most in situ asbestos. You just need to see all the broken down fencing, roofs. So it's awareness for the younger generations. The younger generation wouldn't have any reason to know about asbestos. It's not profiled that well.
Did you say he was diagnosed in 2010?
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't know a lot about this. So it's good that you're here today and we're talking about it for National Asbestos Awareness Week. Mm. I would have thought it was something in years gone by and it was all, everything's all sorted and everything's safe, but that's not that long ago.
No, and you've hit on the touch point there. I'm a building designer as well, and when I'm out on site, the number of times the lack of awareness and worse, the blasé attitude, she'll be right, mate. The National Asbestos Safety and Eradication Agency just did a survey only 3 months ago. They surveyed 1,500 homeowners and only one third of them could say whether or not there might be asbestos on their property, which is probably too low. When you look at the COVID situation we've just been in, people in lockdown, unfortunately, I predict another wave coming out of that in another 20, 30 years because people have been home. They haven't necessarily wanted to have trades on their property, so they've tackled these projects themselves. Asbestos was in over 3,000 products across all industries, so we don't expect people to know where it is and where they'll find it. But as a general rule, if your property was renovated or built prior to 1990...
1990.
Because it was only banned in 2003 in Australia.
Right.
And we were one of the highest users in the world prior to that. So if your property was had any work done around that time or prior, it is very likely it does contain asbestos. So if you're unsure, you need to find out because it's just not worth the risk.
Is it? What are the risks? Thinking about if you've got an older home, does it if it's there, if it's covered up, I guess, or not sort of. Where are the risks involved there?
Like, I think it's being aware of where it could be and making sure not to break into it, to drill it, to sand it.
Gotcha.
Not to water blast and clean your roofs because what that does, there's a lot of fibro roofing around. What that does, cement that bonds the material has broken down over time through weathering.
Yep.
You're basically just distributing asbestos fibres, microscopic fibres, throughout the neighbourhood while you're doing that. So that's probably one of the worst things that you can do. But if you're aware of it, just keep it contained. we're not out to have a scare campaign. I often liken asbestos to our dangerous creatures. You know, we're known in Australia for our snakes and redback spiders and things. If I see a spider with a red mark on its back, I know not to touch it.
Sure.
If you see a product that you know could contain asbestos, you just don't touch it.
Interesting for the home, even the home reno, that might you might get the drill out. I mean, that, obviously with that comes a lot of dust when you're drilling anyway at the best of times. So that I would have thought that would have been a fairly common one that people would do is
very
drill.
Common. And over the years, we've been running a support group, and Liz will talk more into this, but the number of people that we've had, our clients that have had non-occupational, seemingly very low exposure, some of them younger than you realise, a lot of women. So you do not need long-term exposure, and it's an ongoing concern.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more with me in the studio. We are talking with the Support Network Coordinator, Liz, and also co-founder and director from Reflections, Joe. Back after this, you are on 98.5, and this is Weekdays with Mike. This is Weekdays with Mike. It's good to have Liz and Joe with me in the studio from Reflections. It is National Asbestos Awareness Week, which is why you are joining us in the studio. Liz, thanks for coming in today. Can you just share a little bit about your experience with this? And now, I believe you've been a nurse for many years?
Yeah, so I've been nursing for over 25 years. And my experience is when my husband, Colin, who was a doctor, was diagnosed with mesothelioma at 42. Literally, I didn't know what that meant. When I met him, when we were told that, I literally had to write down mesothelioma phonetically on a piece of paper before I made the phone call to his parents and to his siblings to tell them that Colin had been diagnosed out of the blue with a life-ending cancer.
He was a doctor.
Yeah.
So how would have he been exposed to this?
Well, it's one thing that we can't really ever be sure of. However, it's very unlikely that in his situation that he had an occupational exposure. There was certainly no evidence of a DIY exposure. All we really know is that at some point, somewhere, someone decided to cut a corner, do the wrong thing, save a bit of money. She'll be right, mate. But she's not.
So diagnosed at 42, and what age did he finally pass?
So he was diagnosed at 42, and he died at 45, which was June last year. So he leaves behind, obviously, me, and we've got two kids that were 7 and 11 when he was diagnosed. So he's escaping some of the teenage years, but I'm pretty sure he'd prefer to be here.
Absolutely. It's way too young, 45. Now, Liz, you're the Support Network Coordinator at Reflections. What does that look like? What does that involve? How do you spend your time?
Okay, so it's actually a reasonably new role. We're one of the first people in WA to actually provide a specific support network coordinator. I use a combination of my nursing background along with my lived experience with mesothelioma, with looking after Colin, but also now having an awareness of what the holes in the system look like for someone with meso. My job, as I see it, is to support people who have recently been diagnosed and to provide some hope. Because it's very difficult when you're firstly diagnosed with this disease, which is terminal from diagnosis. There's very few treatments. It's very easy to fall into a dark place and wonder what's the point in going on. And so my job is to provide hope and support, but also to help people have those difficult conversations with their friends and family that they're now facing.
Is this unique to Perth, this sort of support for when we talk about, you mentioned meso, that's how you would describe it?
Yeah, as far as we're aware, we're the only people providing a support group in person. We also provide an online support group through a private Facebook group. And my clients can call me if they just need a chat, if they've had some news that they're not sure how to interpret, if they're struggling with something that maybe falls outside of many of the remits of the sort of the major cancer support services. It's something that's identified by meso sufferers is major cancer support services often talking about after treatment, surviving cancer, and that's not an option for our clients, and that's why having a specific specific support person in this space is really important.
It was interesting. When my father was diagnosed, he and a couple of others in the similar situation said, let's start a coffee morning. So before we even had a foundation, it started with monthly morning teas, and now it's turned into what it has today.
Wow. Incredible. Ladies, we'll take a break. We'll come back and, you okay to hang around a bit longer? We'll
sure.
come back and chat some more.
Thank you.
You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. It is National Asbestos Awareness Week. And joining me in the studio today is Support Network Coordinator Liz and co-founder and director from Reflections. Back after this one. We're on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. It is National Asbestos Awareness Week this week. And joining me in the studio is Support Network Coordinator Liz and also co-founder and director Joe. Really appreciate you coming in today. We are nearly out of time, but we were just chatting off air while the song was playing. Can you give us a bit of an update on what things look like when there's been we've had cyclones up in Kalbarri and also bushfires? What's the message there?
Well,
off the back of those.
I think the message is that people need to have more awareness in advance of those type of crises. We know that with the Wooraloo bushfires, there was a lot of asbestos exposure, and when it's burnt, it explodes. These microscopic fibres we're talking about, so they're scattered all over the properties. Same with Cyclone Seroja that was up in Kalbarri. When people are going through such a terrible disaster, I just don't feel that's the time to add, oh, and by the way, the whole town is now exposed to asbestos. We need to have that more awareness in advance of these situations so that education is key. And what do they say? Forewarned is forearmed. Mm. I do believe there could be more awareness in the community.
Yeah, it's good. Now, just to finish off today, there's some obviously it's National Asbestos Week this week. What is happening this week in the Perth CBD?
Well, if you're out and about tonight, you'll see the Perth landmarks will all be lit up blue, shades of blue, which represents asbestos, in memory of those that are lost. I mean, we're talking about a serious subject, but we want to remind people that about their risks as well. So if you're out and about, take a snap with your friends, so post it on your socials and hashtag asbestos awareness, hashtag reflections. Let's spread the message.
Mm. So good. So that starts tonight. It actually starts tonight.
Head down to Madigarup Bridge tonight, Council House, Yeagon Square, all
How
over
good
the
is
place.
That?
So jump on our socials and you'll see what's going to be lit up.
It's good that the Perth City Council, I'm imagining, are getting right behind that, which is so good. Now, just to finish off today, why is it important for to have dedicated support? And obviously there's lots of support and information, which we'll put some links up on our website. But just to finish off, why is it so important?
It's the difference between getting hope, seeing through the darkness, and struggling alone. If you are affected by mesothelioma, and that's whether you have a current diagnosis, you're currently on treatment or not treatment, or if you've been bereaved, you don't have to do it by yourself. Get in touch.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you're listening today, I'm sure there'll be someone that would know someone. Mm. And so it's been great having both of you come in today. We'll put some links up on our website. So if you'd like to know more about Reflections, or you want to get in touch, or you just want some more information, we'll put a link up on our website. So head online to 98five.com. We'll also put a link up to all the great things happening in the CBD starting tonight. Really appreciate you both coming in today. It's been certainly been an education for me, and certainly it's been an education for our listeners as well. And so we often think of it as such a thing that's happened all those years ago, but it's still current.
It is.
Thank you
Thanks very much for having us.
Appreciate you both coming in. Joining me in the studio this morning has been Support Network Coordinator Liz and co-founder and director Joe from Reflections. You are on 98.5 and this is Weekdays with Mike. Good morning.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.